Today's reading is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets.
He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore.
Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat.
When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch."
Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets."
When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break.
So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them.
And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink.
But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man."
For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon.
Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people."
When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning again, Midtown. Again, for those of you who might be new, and this might be your first time, my name is Javon Caldwell Gross, and I'm one of the associate pastors here at St. Luke's. And it's so great to be with you on this Sunday morning as Pastor Mindy is on vacation. So thank you again for having me for another Sunday. How about you just join me for a quick word of prayer before we begin our sermon today? God, we're just so grateful for the many ways that you continue to bless us in our lives. As we come to this sermon and this series on forgiveness, God, I pray that you would just help us to see faith in our lives just maybe in a new way. For all of us, bring something to this conversation. Forgiveness is hard. Maybe today we've come to even the hardest part. And so I pray that you would bless us in our conversation together, and we stand on the word that when your word goes out, it shall not come back void. In your name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Make sure when Pastor Mindy gets back that you tell her how short the stand is compared to... So over these past few weeks, we've been in a sermon series around forgiveness, and all across our St. Luke's campuses, we have looked at forgiveness in first ways and how we might forgive in a cancel culture. We've even looked at the ways that we forgive people that have hurt us. But if we're honest with ourselves today, we're not always on the receiving end of being disappointed. We're not always on the receiving end of hurt being done to us. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we're the cause of it. Sometimes we are the reason that people pray for God's healing. At some point in our lives, someone has prayed to be delivered and freed from us. That's why I think for the majority of people in the conversation around forgiveness, the hardest person to forgive, it is not the one that hurt us. The hardest person to forgive, it is not the person or the people that disappointed us. But even from people who believe in God, sometimes the hardest person to forgive is who? ourselves. The hardest person to forgive is the one that we see every day in the mirror. And I think it's the same struggle that Peter has in our text. I mean, we don't know what previous background Peter has had with Jesus, but whatever it was, it made him rethink his entire life, and now he is making a dramatic pivot. I mean, he's well into his professional career, and he decides that he's going to do something new. I mean, he's not tired of fishing. He hasn't lost his passion for being out on the seas, but a man named Jesus saw something in him beyond what he had ever imagined for himself and asked him to drop everything and follow. But it became so real one day when Jesus was sitting in his boat preaching to people who had gathered on the shores, and this was the same boat people that they had used all night trying to catch fish and had caught absolutely nothing. And then it was Jesus that tells Simon Peter to go out a little further, and then they catch an amount of fish that they could have never imagined. Now, you have to understand that Peter knew these waters. Peter knew the fish, so we thought, and he's so overwhelmed with emotions that he felt unworthy just being in the presence of this man that's sitting in his boat. He feels so unworthy that he can't even be in Jesus' presence. Now, I'm just guessing, but maybe Peter has done something he's not proud of. I would bet that he has some areas of his life of which he's ashamed. I mean, does Peter have an addiction we should be worried about? Does Peter have some personal struggles that we never read about in the Gospels? Is he really an honest fisherman, or has he cut some corners sometimes? Has Peter dealt with infidelity in his marriage? What Jewish laws has Peter broken? I mean, what he's dealing with, it's weighing on him. And here's how I know that it's weighing on him, because nobody brings up his past but him. They aren't having a conversation about how or who has fallen short, but whatever it is weighing on Peter's heart, is weighing on his mind, and is weighing on his spirit, so much so that he tells Jesus, "Depart from me, leave me, forget about me, because I am a sinful man." Whatever it is, it's weighing on him so bad that he can't even be in the presence of Jesus. And yet his request invites us to consider the things that are weighing on us. I mean, are there some things in our lives that make us feel so unworthy that it's hard forgiving ourselves? Because here's what we often tell ourselves, that everyone is worthy of forgiveness except us. But when it comes to forgiving ourselves, Peter reminds us that we can't forgive what we are afraid to face. We can't forgive what we are afraid to face. In some ways, I give Peter credit. Because again, we have no idea what Peter is wrestling with. I mean, whatever it is, it's weighing heavily on his heart. And yet, if you keep reading the Gospels, we have an idea of what Peter is capable of doing. We don't know what he's done, but we get an idea of what he's capable of doing. Because remember, this is the same Peter that would later cut off the ear of a soldier when they came to arrest Jesus. This was the same Peter that easily betrayed Jesus when times got really hard. And these incidents were after he had spent 3 years being transformed by Jesus. I mean, this is now Peter, the Sunday school teacher. This is Peter, the officer, the volunteer, the preacher. I mean, this is after spending 3 years with Jesus. After he spends 3 years with Jesus, he's cutting off ears. Can you imagine? Imagine who Peter was before he met Jesus. I mean, can you imagine what he's capable of doing before he met Christ? And yet, Peter's confession starts with one of the most important words that's needed when we forgive ourselves. Because forgiving ourselves start with I. Peter says, Lord, depart from me because I, not he, not James, not John, not she, not them, not they. And the reason some people struggle with forgiving themselves is they never recognize their role or their part in the situations. All of their confessions begin with the names of other people. They did this. If she was a better parent, if he would make better decisions, but Peter owns it. Again, we don't know what he's dealing with, but whatever he's dealing with, he isn't putting it on anybody else. He's embracing, however he's falling short. He begins with I, and it's tempting to point the finger as opposed to evaluating our own roles and behavior. He starts the conversation of forgiveness with I. Before a lot of work was done on iPads, I don't even know if some of you even remember this, but before a lot of work was done on iPads, there are moments sometimes in school environments when the teacher would choose to start the grading process in school or in class. The catch, when the grading process began, the catch was that you couldn't grade your own paper. So what would you do? So you had to pass your paper, you had to pass your work to the person to the left, or you had to pass your work to the person to the right, and it was demonstrating a principle and a concept. It was demonstrating the ease by which we grade the works of other people. I mean, if they got it all wrong, who cares? X, wrong, fail, right? 5 out of 10, who cares? We don't lose any sleep at night. Nope, not right, wrong, right? But it also is revealing the difficulty of grading our own work. Because it's hard to be objective when it comes to our own decisions. It's hard to admit we were wrong when we knew we were right. It's hard to correct what we thought was a good decision. And even though we have grown in age and the context has changed, most of us still struggle with seeing errors in our own behavior and the errors in our own work. It's easy to point the finger, but it's hard when I've got to grade my own work. But at least Peter is willing to grade his own work. He's grading his own behavior. He's starting with I. It's my fault. It's my mistake. Peter does what many people fail to do, and that is honestly face himself. Because facing ourselves invites us to ask the question, can you face you? I think one of the hardest revelations in life and faith is actually seeing and coming to terms with who we really are. I mean, that's what happens to Peter. He gets into the presence of Jesus. He starts seeing himself differently and more clearly. Why? Because being in a relationship with someone else, you don't just learn about them, but who else do you learn about? You learn about yourself, right? I mean, being a parent doesn't just teach you about your child, but it teaches us how dysfunctional and deranged we really are. Sometimes you don't even know how messed up we are. I mean, working at a job or just being in community, it holds up a mirror that many of us don't want to see. Why? Because it gives us a more accurate picture of what everyone else sees. And the courage is facing and owning the person that's looking back and starting with I. Somebody say I. Because while Peter shows us a great starting place, there has to be a balance. Peter shows us a great starting place, but it has to be a balance, because here's the danger in Peter's grading system. The danger in Peter's grading system is that he's really hard on himself. I mean, have you ever met any graders like that? I mean, they were gracious to everyone but themselves. Have you ever met any graders like that? Have you ever met any graders that they are their own worst critics? Have you ever met any graders like that? I mean, they expect themselves to be good at everything all of the time. Have you ever met any graders like that? I mean, they have to make all of the right decisions, and they are gracious and kind and generous and forgiving to everybody. But when it comes to grading their own work, unless it's perfect, it's never going to be the standard. Have you ever met any graders like that? I mean, it's tempting. It's tempting to start taking the errors personally, because Peter doesn't say, "I am a man who has sinned." Peter doesn't say, "I've made some mistakes, Jesus." Peter says, I am sinful. It's almost as though he's associating his actions with his identity. And the lines are starting to get blurred between who he is and what he's done. We don't know what he's done, but whatever it is, it's starting to impact how he sees and how he views himself. And that's why some of us can't forgive ourselves, because it's tempting to think that we are nothing more than what we've done. And like Peter, we start believing, "I am." And the actions or the lines between our actions and identity start to become really blurry. We start believing things like, "I am a liar. I am a failure. I am a cheater. I am a bad parent. I am a bad partner." And the event becomes the identity. But here's the challenge. Forgiving myself invites us to accept that we are not what we did, but we are who God says we are. I mean, this is what Brené Brown, in fact, Mindy is a huge lover of Brené Brown, so when she comes back, tell her we mentioned that and she'll be fine. This is what Brené Brown used to differentiate between guilt and shame. Because guilt says, "I did something bad." Shame says, "I am bad." Shame results in the painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. And watch this, the danger of people feeling unloved and unworthy is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if I feel as though I am unworthy of good things, I will subconsciously start to destroy or sabotage the good things that happen in my life as proof that we are unworthy of good things. So even if Jesus comes along with an invitation of a lifetime or with something good, like Peter, we will and sabotage our own good things that happen in our lives, because it's tempting to be consumed with what's not working in our lives and discard everything else. Why? Because of what we believe we are. But it's a flawed approach. In fact, let's take the same logic and apply it to a real life situation. Let's apply the same logic, the same logic. Something's not working, so you just discard the whole thing. Something in my life is not working, so I am bad. Let's take the approach and let's apply it to a real life situation. This past week, when the temperature just dropped, I realized that the temperature in the house wasn't reaching the temperature on the thermostat. So we called the company out and we had them look at the furnace. Again, real life situation, real life story. We're taking the same concept and we're going to put it in real life. We called the company out and we had them look at the furnace. I will spare you all the details, but when he did the inspection, he noticed there were some cracks in a certain part of the furnace. He said, "Sir, I've got some bad news for you, that with this kind of part, you might as well just get a brand new furnace." Well, say, "Well, can you at least check the warranty first before we spend a whole lot of money replacing a furnace?" So he called, and sure enough, it was under warranty, but he decided to give me the options anyway. Now, here were the options that he gave me. He gave me the option of fixing one part for free. Somebody say free. One part of the furnace for free. Somebody say free. Or buying a new furnace that will cost me $14,000. Somebody say free. Now, just by show of hands, how many of you would have chosen the new furnace? Don't be shy. It's church. It's okay. You can confess. Now, how many of you would have chosen to fix the one broken part for free? We all on the same page. That's what I chose. In fact, I didn't even think it was an option. I mean, you're offering me something free, and you think I'm about to drop 14 G's on you overnight. Right? Why? Why? Because I didn't have a bad furnace. I had a good furnace that just needed some repairs. I didn't have a bad furnace. There was one part that wasn't working up to a standard. But I'm not going to discard the whole thing because one part of it just needed to be repaired. I didn't have a bad furnace. I had a good furnace that just needed some repairs. You see, some people, when there are some cracks in their lives, all they see is the bad furnace. When they see cracks in their relationships or cracks in some journey of their lives, they are ready to just throw everything out. I am bad. I am a failure. I am a mistake. They only see what's wrong. But remember, a mistake, a failure, it's an event, not an identity. Mistakes, all of these things, they describe an incident, not an individual. Shame told Peter, "You are nothing more than a sinful person." Shame told Peter that you have a broken furnace. Shame blurred the lines. Shame can't differentiate between action and identity. That is, until God comes along. And that's when Jesus simply reminds Peter who he is. Jesus just reminded Peter, "I chose you." He reminds Peter that now he's going to fish for people. Because forgiving himself invites the continuous question, "What does God say about me? What does God say about me?" Not just what do I believe about myself, what does the world say, but what does God say about me? And sometimes when it seems like all we are failures, sinful people, and mistakes, and bad parents, and bad partners, sometimes Jesus comes along to remind us that you are good, you are called, you are loved, you are kind, you are gifted, you are not broken. You might have a part of your life that needs to be fixed, but we're not going to throw everything out, because the work of grace reclaims our identity. The work of grace reclaims our identity from the things and actions that try to rob us of who we are. The mistakes and the failures and falling short, these are incidents. These are not our identity. That's why the first thing you do in the class when you get the assignment before it's graded, the first thing you do is put what? You put your name on the paper. You are affirming the identity. So regardless if the grade is perfection or if I failed, does that change the name on the paper? Regardless of what grade comes back, the name still affirms the identity. And that's what the work of Christ does. The work of Christ continuously reaffirms and reclaims our identity in Jesus Christ, even when we have to be reminded of it. Because our identity doesn't change based on the grade. I mean, that's why Jesus doesn't get into a debate about what Peter did. We don't know because Jesus doesn't bring it up. Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to convince Peter otherwise. He simply reminded Peter of who he was. Listen, Peter says, listen, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, now you're going to fish for people. It's almost like they're having two different conversations. Peter inserts his mistakes into the conversation. God, let me tell you how messed up I am. God, let me tell you why I'm not worthy of your love. God, let me tell you how I keep doing the same thing over and over again. And Jesus says, listen, now you're going to fish for people. Peter says, God, you can get away from me. I understand if you don't love me anymore. Jesus says, you know what? Now you're going to fish for people. They're not even having the same conversation. Peter seems to be stuck on his past, and Jesus seems to be more concerned about who and what he's calling Peter to do in the present and in his future. Now, I'm not suggesting that our gifts make up for moral failures, but I am suggesting that God's grace does. I am suggesting that whatever is weighing him down, Jesus has moved on from it. It's not weighing on Jesus' heart. Can I say that again? Whatever is weighing on Peter's heart and mind, Jesus has moved on from it. It's not such a concern that it's making Jesus second guess his decision to choose Peter. Peter is worried about the things he has done, and Jesus starts talking about the things that he wants Peter to do. I mean, Peter can't forget it. But Jesus has. You see, forgiving myself is recognizing. Hear me. Forgiving myself is recognizing that Jesus has already forgiven me of the thing that I can't forget. Forgiving myself is recognizing that Jesus has already forgiven me of the thing that I can't forget. And I know it's hard to grasp because there are just some things in our lives, some things that we've done that we can't forget. We can't forget because there are constant reminders of how we have disappointed people in our lives. We can't forget because we still have to bear the consequences of the decisions. But we can't forget, but because we can't forget, we can't forgive ourselves. And we're not going to forgive ourselves unless we can forget. But listen to what the Word says about God forgetting. Psalm 103 says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The book of Isaiah, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hebrews 8, I will forgive them of their sins, and I will remember them no more. Some of you may not believe me, but God has already forgiven you. God has already let it go. So why can't you? God has moved on to your purpose. God has moved on to your future. God has moved on from the very things that we can't forget. It doesn't mean that you won't have to deal with the consequences. It doesn't mean that we don't have to work through some things. It doesn't mean that other people still aren't impacted. But what it does mean is that we can stop punishing ourselves as a sign of atoning for our mistakes. What it does mean is that we can stop punishing ourselves. It means that we can stop dwelling in the past and remain open to what God is trying to do for us today. Peter was struggling with forgiving himself and was about to walk away. It was so heavy on him that he could not reconcile thinking about what he had done and what God was trying to do in his life. And Peter almost missed some really good things happening in his life. Peter was about to start a new journey with Jesus. He was about to grow into a preacher that would bring thousands to Christ. Peter was about to evolve into this courageous leader of the church. Peter would become a miracle worker in his own right. Peter was the one that challenged the foundations of their faith and revealed a faith that was inclusive and open to all people, especially Gentiles. But none of this happens if he walks away with unforgiveness, because the hardest thing that Peter would do then was, and even later, it was learning how to forgive himself. In fact, let me prove it and we'll be done. Ben, you can get ready. Let me prove it. And I promise, Kylie and I, we didn't orchestrate this, but as you were praying, I said, this is how the Lord works. Let me prove it to you. All of this would not have happened unless Peter forgives himself. Because when we have not forgiven ourselves, we are locked into prisons like shame and guilt and bitterness and comparisons. But I want you to do me a favor and take out some keys. Kylie, I promise you, this is in my script. This is a little work. I want you to take out some keys. I want you to take out something that you use to unlock something. Maybe it might even be a bank card. But you can, if it is a bank card, you can leave it right on the top row. I got three kids. We got a bread run time. I want you to take out something that you used to unlock something. Now, this is what forgiving yourself looks like. When I asked you to take out something that would help you unlock something of your own, you did not look to the person next to you. You did not look to the person behind you. You did not look to the stranger. You did not look to the pastor. But who did you look to? Yourself. Some of us are locked into prisons of shame and comparison and guilt. But forgiveness is freedom. And we hold the keys to our own freedom. We hold the keys to being unlocked from seasons and feelings of shame and guilt, and I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of the calling. God, I'm a sinful person. Depart from me. Peter's life was about to dramatically change, and the person who held the keys to the transition in his life, it wasn't James, it wasn't John, it wasn't the people that were on the boat, it wasn't the thousands that were watching, but he held the keys to his own freedom, and the keys was simply being able to forgive himself. Because Jesus had already forgiven him. Jesus had already given him the keys. And what a travesty it would be for us to walk around with the keys of freedom our whole lives, right in our pockets, and never use them. All God is asking you to do today is trust that he loves you and trust that you are worthy of forgiveness. Because on this journey of forgiveness, sometimes the hardest person to forgive is who? Jesus. So God, we pray to you now. As we close our time together, remember the places in our lives that you want to unlock. Reminding somebody today. And maybe this is the day that they use their own keys. They've used them to forgive others. Forgive others that have disappointed us. We've used them for others. But maybe today we unlock the keys of freedom. We use the keys of freedom for ourselves. What a challenge, but what an invitation. Your name we pray. Amen.